Revolution Radio Studio B, Tuesday and Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific, JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Charlottesville, Las Vegas, the latest on politics and foreign affairs from an unconventional point of view. Come join Revolution Radio Tuesday, Thursday, Studio B.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or you would be.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Rest, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Slash Church at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. Doors at 10:30. No. Oh, that's right. RebuildingTheMan.com. I knew something's off with that. Rebuilding the Man. Thank you, James. RebuildingTheMan.com/church. RebuildingTheMan.com/church. All right? Sunday mornings. And for personalized shout-outs, go to cameo.com. C-A-M-E-O. Whatever the occasion is. Birthdays, weddings, funerals. Whatever it might be. C-A-M-E-O. Encouragement. Whatever. CAMEO.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Patreon. We have exclusive content on Patreon.com, Subscribestar.com, and Rockfin.com. As a matter of fact, /Jesse Lee Peterson. Don't we have a little promo for Rockfin? Okay, let me hear that. So, hey, Rockfin, this is Jesse from JesseLeePeterson.com. And so, we're back. A follow-up on our predictions for this year. During the election and all that good stuff. I have with me my experts. So we're talking about what happened, what is happening, and the best advice for folks. All right? Mm-hmm. So we'll go with Chris.
You already told him.
We skipped you, Joe.
We can edit.
I'm not editing that out. Make sure you don't miss our latest discussion. Made exclusive to our supporters over at Patreon, Subscribestar, and released early to our supporters on Rockfin. And if you decide to support us on Rockfin, you get access to the entire Rockfin Premium Library, which features a growing library of bold, free-thinking content creators.
Thank y'all. Amazing. Rockfin.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Check it all out.
We are getting it done one day at a time, one moment at a time, one time at a time. That's all. Don't be in a rush with life. Those who are in a rush, let them go on. Wish them well. You take your time and do it right. Take your time, do it right. You can do it, baby. Do it tonight. Take your time and do it right. Don't be in a rush. Don't try to be like anyone. Be you. Nothing like being you. All right? Wish everybody well. Don't be jealous. Don't be envious. Wish everybody well, even your enemy. But be you. There's nothing like being you. So, this doesn't look good, folks. The Democrats, the right-o Republicans, the Never Trumpers are a mess. Are a mess. And overnight, I was going to ask Nick. I forgot to ask him this morning at our meeting. Did you hear where Joe Biden said President, what's that woman's name? President Harris and I. He slip of the tongue. Did y'all hear about that? No. President Harris and I. What the? Joe Biden, I don't believe that Joe Biden knows that he's the president. I don't think he's aware of it. He reminds me a lot of my dad, my father, and I don't know what Joe Biden condition is, but look like something is wrong. But he reminds me of when my father was first developing Alzheimer's. Not that I'm saying Joe Biden has. It just looked like Joe Biden is out to lunch. And he would, day by day, he would get worse and, get worse. He would remember things and didn't remember. And it just got to a point he seemed to have forgotten most things. And Joe Biden reminded me of so much of that. Like, he's walking around, but he doesn't know where he's going. How did this country end up with someone like that called president? How did that happen? Oh, is that the one with him calling president, that woman president? You have that, Nick? I mean, Joe, you see it?
Yeah, I see it.
Can you play it?
Yeah, I'm just pulling it up.
Right, okay, now. Let me know. It's crazy. In the United States of America, it's falling to pieces. Watch this.
Now, when President Harris and I took a virtual tour of a vaccination center in Arizona not long ago.
President Harris and I told you it wasn't about Joe Biden. It was about that empty shell, Harris, Kamala Harris. Y'all, I would advise you, do what you want. To seek the kingdom of God in the right way. Get to know yourself so that whatever is going on in this country right now, if it should get worse, you'll be ready to deal with it. Really. If your foundation is not solid, you're not going to be able to deal with it. I would work on me right now, if I were you. Myself. And you will see what's going on around you in the world, and you'll be ready to deal with it. Things might get worse before they get better. I believe they will get better. And the worst times are times to when you wake up. When you're having it rough, it's like a wake-up call for you. So watch it. But anyway, this doesn't look good here. This is from Breitbart. U.S. and Chinese officials met at a summit in Alaska yesterday. The U.S. and Chinese officials met at a summit in Alaska yesterday, according to Breitbart. The White House boasted that they would bring up human rights concerns with China. Oh, we're going to get on China about human rights concerns. Don't worry, America. We're going to get them. I can't believe that this is happening, right? But what follows was a rebuke of American strength by the Chinese side. So America pretended that they're going to go to the summit and they're going to get the Chinese human rights condition, right? But China reversed it on them because China know that America is becoming very, very weak. This is not Donald Trump. So China is not afraid of America at all at this point. It's not afraid. And so they reversed this thing on America. What followed was a rebuke of American strength by the Chinese side, as well as a reminder of American human rights abuse of black people. Watch this.
We'll also discuss our deep concerns with actions by China, including in Xinjiang, Hong Kong, Taiwan, cyber attacks on the United States, economic coercion toward our allies.
There are many problems within the United States regarding human rights, which is admitted by the U.S. itself as well. The United States has also said that countries can't rely on force. And the challenges facing the United States in human rights are deep-seated. They did not just emerge over the past 4 years, such as Black Lives Matter. It did not come up only recently. Well, I think we thought too well of the United States. We thought that the U.S. side will follow the necessary diplomatic protocols. So for China, it was necessary that we make our position clear. So let me say here that in front of the Chinese side, the United States does not have the qualification to say that it wants to speak to China from a position of strength.
Amazing. So the Chinese sitting there saying to these people, in reality, y'all must think y'all Donald Trump. We know you're not strong. How dare you challenge us about human rights? How about Black Lives Matter? So sad to see my country become so weak. But don't worry. It will turn around. It is causing many people to wake up. A wide awake to wake up. And that's what hard times are supposed to do, is to wake you up. Many people can wake up without going through hard time, but most people won't. They need rough times in their lives. That's why you're not supposed to baby adults, feel sorry for them, or kids, really, and so that they can wake up. Wake up. Most people are asleep and don't know it. Our battle is a spiritual battle. It's the warfare between good and evil, right versus wrong. Good versus evil, right versus wrong. Has nothing to do with color, not one iota. And no such thing as racism. It's a made up lie. Sexism, made up. Homophobia is a made up. Nick, on that line 5, I have no idea. One word doesn't mean a thing to me. Racism, homophobia, all this stuff made up. White supremacism, no such thing. You have to be blind, crippled, and crazy to believe these things. Anti-Semitism. It's just not true, folks. And you have two worlds, a fake world and a real one. The real one tell you that it's about spirit. We wrestle not against physical, right, but against spirits and principalities. The fake world tell you it's about physical. Get to know yourself and you will see it has nothing to do with it. And yet, the Christians have become one with the secular world. And if you notice, the language is the same. The language is the same. Christians believe just like the secular people. They act like the secular people. They treat one another with the secular rules. There's no separation. There must be a separation between good and evil. Come out of the world. Come out of it. Come out of the world. Who is this on 5 minutes? Diana is a first-time caller out of New York City. Diana, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Get it off your chest.
Hi, Jesse. How are you today?
All is well, Diana. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm blessed by the name of God.
Amazing.
Yeah, you know, I really love what you were saying, and I resonate with the things that you were mentioning, especially that we're in a spiritual battle, you know, because Christians today are turning into these progressive Christians. And the Bible says that if you are of the world, you are an enemy of God.
Yep.
And the fact that Christians today in this day and age are constantly trying to retwist the words, trying to sweeten up the name of God just to impress the world is demonic. It's disgusting. It's deplorable.
Yep. When a Christian tell you that they are a progressive Christian, what they're saying is that Satan is their daddy. And that they're
exactly.
fake Christian. They're not the real deal.
Yeah, they're hot and cold because you can't say that you're a Christian by, you know, you're hot and cold.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible also says too that as Christians we must be steadfast in the name of Jesus Christ. That we can't, you know, say that we are with God, but we're cold for the Lord.
So what do you
got to be on fire for him?
I remember growing up, Christianity was strong in America, and they led the way for the most part. What do you think happened along the way that has caused Christianity to nearly disappear?
Honestly, I just think it's free will, for one. I think it's free will. Honestly, the left tends to, you know, try to pollute our minds. You're starting to see that with the push of the LGBT agenda. You're starting to see a push of abortion. You're starting to see, you know, black folks in America believing that because of slavery, that they cannot prosper in 2021, that they cannot move forward.
Yeah.
You have the Democratic Party constantly, you know, creating this mind control, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I just never imagined that I would see Christianity disappear. I know that the enemy hate Christians. I know that we'll hate it around the world, not only in America, but I never thought that in a Judeo-Christian country that Christianity would disappear and that evil would take over in such a big way. But you know what, Diana? It's changing. We're coming back. It's going to change.
Amen.
Greatest.
You know,
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Diana.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, one scripture that makes me hopeful is John chapter 15, verse 18. You know, Jesus tells people that, you know, if you are hated, just know that the world hated me before they hate you.
Yeah.
And that's really encouraging because, you know, even though we are Christians and we're preaching the gospel, we're going to experience hate, but we need to stand firm in the name of Jesus Christ and believe that he is the way.
Absolutely.
And that's what we call the nation. We got to move. We've got to stand firm. You know, it's sad because I'm 28 years old and people today in my generation don't believe in God.
Yeah.
Or they believe in a secular world. And that's just insane to me.
Yeah, I was just thinking as you before you said that, it's amazing how many millennial atheists I run across now. There's so many young men and women who say that they're atheists. And it's mind-blowing. And I know that happened as a result of the destruction of the family, but in the schools, especially the public schools, the kids are being brainwashed. They're being turned away from the parents and from God. And a lot of guys and girls think that they're atheists now. It's mind-blowing. Dad, I appreciate your call.
Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate your time.
All right. Call me again, all right?
Sounds good.
All right. Amazing. Mind-blowing. Bill is a first-time caller out of Pennsylvania. Bill, get it off your chest.
What the? Morning, Jesse.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Quick scenario. Me and you are going to race one another, and at the end of the race, there's $1 million. And at the end of the race, you win it. What do I, as the loser, deserve in that situation?
Nothing.
Because I feel like this analysis of I think that you've kind of touched on it recently, where you kind of have to feel guilty for being white, And it goes with my analogy that, you know, if in back in the day when you know, whoever came across the sea and they wanted to build this great America that we love, and now we're at the point to where it doesn't mean anything for you to be first. It doesn't mean anything for you to discover anything, that everybody has to be, you know, a part. Everybody deserves, like in my running situation, like I deserve as much as you, even though I lost.
Are you white, Bill?
I am.
And how old are you?
I'm 35.
And so are you afraid to speak up?
I wouldn't say I'm not afraid to speak up. I think we live in a time now to where you can choose your battles depending on who you're talking to. But I do think we're in a situation where I was even just watching a video on YouTube about a guy walking through public and asking people about white supremacy. And even them being asked, they were really afraid to answer, even though you could tell that they might have thought differently. They really just thought about their answer, not necessarily how they truly felt about it. It seemed like they were more worried about being, you know.
So you're not afraid, as a white guy, you're not afraid to speak up?
I'm not afraid to have conversations. There's certain situations or certain people, as you can see, when they say things on social media or something, that you know that it's not going to be beneficial because you can tell how stuck in their ways they are. But I just feel like we live now where it's just like you can't. There's no benefit. There was no benefit from, you know, the people coming to America, starting this great country, and now there's no benefit of doing that. Just like if you think of any other country.
And so are you afraid to speak up as a white guy? Hold on, Bill. Let me take a quick break. Back in a moment.
Well, let's just focus on the one. Apart from God, there's nothing you can overcome. Don't be a beta.
What are super chats, DLive? What is that?
Let me give you guys a quick rundown of the super chats. If you go to DLive.tv and you sign up and make an account in the little button that says log in, you'll have the option to get lemon. You'll see the button once you log in. Once you get lemon, which you pay real money for, you could use those lemons to super chat to our show. Lemon is about a penny. Ice cream is about a few more cents. Diamond is about $1. The Ninjagini is $10. And the Ninjet is $100. As soon as you click that button, you'll be given the prompt. You can write in your question. You can send it in. And you'll be able to donate to us and give us your super chat. And another way, which is pretty easy, and you literally just put in the amount that you want to send in and the message you want to write in, you go to jesseleepeterson.live. When you go to that website, you'll see right there, you'll be able to put in a username, and you'll be able to put in your message and exactly how much you want to donate. And those are the two ways you can send in super chats into the show and support us.
So, Bill, out of Pennsylvania, first-time caller, are you, as a white guy, are you afraid to speak up?
I would say that I think that in certain situations that I probably am, just depending on the person on the other side, knowing what they're... I think it's sometimes you get in battles that aren't even worth speaking up about because of kind of like the last caller that you talked to about the millennials and having opinions and things like that. People just don't have, there's no more compassion. There's no more individuality. Everybody gets mad at you for having your own opinion. So I think it's just more tough.
And so are you afraid to speak up?
In some situations, I'll say yes.
And what are you afraid of in some situations? What are you afraid of?
I think in some situations I can have good conversations with people, and I think that that's awesome and healthy. In other situations, I can see that if I was to speak up, it's not really going to make a difference in somebody else's mind. So it's not really worth the conversation just because you're just going to go around in circles. But it would be awesome if we lived in a culture, we lived in a time where we could have those healthy conversations, or we could be able to speak, because nobody should be able to feel like they can't. But just like you, it's kind of like what you said, like Sharon Osbourne, she recently had an opinion, and just because she had her own opinion, she got, you know, pounced on and acted like, you know, maybe she'll never come back to the talk or whatever that show is, you know. But, I think it's just difficult.
And so what are you afraid of at times?
I think that probably I think you can see, like, you almost, like, if somebody twists your perspective, that could have implications in society, that, you know, if they think that you're a racist for having, you know, having a thought, or you think that you're against, you know, having opinion, I think that can very easily, people can make up in their own mind that what they think that your perspective is, and turn it into a negative, and kind of mess with your character. And, you know, sometimes that's enough to really kind of screw up what you're going through.
And so what are you afraid of at times?
I would probably more be, I'd say reputation, being, speaking my truth, but also.
What does that mean, your truth? What truth do you have?
Just what my opinion, like, kind of like with, if we talk about Christianity, say it's not even like a race thing or something, about trying to talk to somebody about what their beliefs are. Sometimes speaking that, you can, you know, actually, I feel more comfortable. Maybe that's weird. I feel more comfortable talking about Jesus than I do about any kind of racial issues or white supremacy or any of that stuff.
And because because you're afraid of, did you say reputation? That's why you have fear?
Yeah, I think that only because I think that in situations you don't have control, and that people can twist things.
And so what do you mean by reputation?
Perception for, you know, having a job and with your friends and family and, I don't know, just public opinion.
And why do you care about what public opinion think of you?
I think that I'll just say that because that might influence my bank account.
What do you mean?
It could have just, I mean, I don't, I'm not afraid for my job or anything, but I feel like we've seen in the public recently when people just get crushed, and then it kind of shifts their whole life, and then very, very easily you can, somebody says one bad thing about you, and then the perception's out there. It's almost like.
And why do you care about that?
I think I care about that only in the sense of my personal livelihood and. Maybe protecting the family.
Your personal livelihood in what way?
As in having a job, making money, supporting myself.
Oh, I see. How old are you again?
35.
And so are you a Christian?
Yes, sir.
Do you love your reputation more than God?
No.
Then why are you afraid then?
Yes, you got a good point there, Mr. Jesse. Not all, but reputation. So is that your thought of, and I, you can kind of place that reality for every situation, is that, you know, any kind of fear, like I think I've heard you say that before, if I put it in the perspective of, is whatever it is in front of me, do I put that before God? Then if the answer is no, which it should be, then I don't really have a problem on my hands.
And so you love your reputation more than God?
No. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if I use your example of asking that about something over God, the answer should always be no.
It should be no.
You don't really have a problem.
It should be no. But if it's not true, you shouldn't pretend that it's not true. And it sounds like you love your reputation as a Christian more than you do God, right?
I would say no. I would say no. I love God more.
But you said that you. But you said you worry about your reputation over God at first.
No, I was saying that that I was worried about my reputation. But if I put it into your perspective, I would say that I would always choose God. So maybe because I wasn't putting it in your perspective going
but it's
forward.
Not, it's not my perspective. God said to love him with all your heart, soul, and might, right? Along with nothing else, and your neighbor as yourself. And if you love your reputation or anything, anyone more than that, then that's your God. God is not first.
I think what I'm saying is like what you just said is I, in those situations where I think I could be worried about my reputation, that in the past I might not have been thinking about, you know, oh well, my reputation isn't as important as my love for the Father. So in the situation, I shouldn't be worrying about this. So when I say perspective, I mean like I just didn't think about it before. But I think going forward, if I put it in that perspective, then that definitely helps probably answer my own question.
I don't understand what you're saying. Are you saying from now on you're going to love God more than reputation?
No, I'm saying I already love God more than I love reputation.
But why did you say you didn't know at first? Why would you change it right now?
I don't think I did change it.
But you said reputation. You worried about it.
I said I was worried about it, yes, but I didn't. I was saying that if you ask me the question, do I love God more than my reputation, I'll always say God.
And why would you say God if it's not true?
It is true. I wasn't putting it in that perspective in those situations.
Are you afraid of speaking up at times?
I don't think I'm afraid to speak up because I'm actually I feel like I'm a pretty bold person. I think I pick and choose depending on who's on the other side of whether it's worth having conversations because of how I've seen them react in the past.
And do you care about how they react?
Not necessarily for myself because I don't, like you said, it doesn't really bother me that much. It's more of just like if there was more. When I'm talking about more of like there's things with like family members and stuff. So my boldness might not be good for, hold on, maybe not. Maybe my boldness should be good for everybody.
And you're saying your boldness is not good for your family?
I feel like that's almost making a choice for them. So that would be my hesitation is, you know, me speaking up in a certain situation and then them having implications of my words. So
I'm black and I'm slow. I'm trying to get some understanding here. Are you saying that your boldness is too much for your family so you wouldn't speak up?
No, I'm saying there might be situations where I think, oh, I'm too bold. And if they have a different opinion, I'm saying I don't want somebody else to be affected by my boldness.
Why not?
Even though I might say it's
why not? Why not?
Just because I feel like it's making a decision for somebody else.
You wouldn't want someone else to be affected by your boldness in your family, you say?
Sure, yeah. That's
and why not?
More just because I feel like that's making a decision that could impact somebody else's life, not other than mine. I think it's okay if I'm making it for myself, but even if I think that it's a good decision for everybody, I don't know if that's necessarily the right thing.
Why not?
Put out there. Just because I wouldn't want somebody else to be impacted by my boldness.
Even if it's right?
Well, what if they don't think it's right?
Do you think Christ wanted the world to be impacted by his boldness?
Yes.
He did?
Sure.
And as a Christian, why would you want to pattern after him?
Good observation. I guess you would.
But why wouldn't you, though?
I would. I mean, I think that would be a good idea of having. I just think part of our culture right now, and that's kind of why I called, is that, you know, it's more of just the idea of why it wouldn't happen is because of creating a situation for people that aren't me, even if I thought it was the best situation for everybody.
Do you think that Christ put all that thought into impacting people?
No.
Well, why would you do differently?
Well, I also think that Christ already knew the implications of his actions, so he might have had a little leg up on us. But
you already know the implications of your action, too. That's why you don't want to do it. Whereas Christ knew, but he wasn't afraid.
Jesse, are you saying I'm afraid?
No, I'm not saying. You said you wouldn't want to impact people or something like that.
Yeah, you did. I mean, no, yeah, you're right. I did say that. Maybe I'm being too thoughtful. You're right. Maybe I should be more bold. Maybe that should be a T-shirt.
You should be a T-shirt?
I said maybe that should be a T-shirt, being bold for something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here looking at your stop having sex out of wedlock T-shirt on my TV.
Have you stopped doing that?
Yeah.
I say
I try my very best. I've had some. I won't even get into my past relationships, but finding you has been helping me kind of reevaluate some of my past decisions.
Have you gone and forgiven your mother?
So maybe that's more of my question. I'm curious about that because I don't have like an ounce of like issue with my mom.
Not one thing at all. But
like,
you have what?
No,
but you have
absolute,
what?
Yeah. I when I listen and I hear that, I'm just like, I don't know about this because I think my mom's awesome, and I've been she's been with my dad for, 36 years. Then my dad's always been around, and my dad and I have a really good relationship. But when you say something about forgiving my mom, I don't really know what I would be forgiving her for.
Right. And so you're saying that while growing up, she did nothing wrong.
Man, she was a good mom. She was a really good mom. She did. She kind of
nice.
You know, she supported my family. She supported my father, and she kind of put us kids before her own needs. And
amazing. And so she did nothing wrong.
If I was going to say that she did, I don't think that. As a mother, I think she was wonderful.
So she did nothing wrong while you were growing up. She did nothing wrong.
I don't think the only thing I think about if I was going to think, I actually can't think of anything that she did wrong other than I think she was a smoker when we were really young. But other than that, she did a really good job.
So she did nothing wrong.
Not that I can pinpoint.
Okay. And how about, and your father did nothing wrong either?
My father was right there, very very selfless man when it's come to his family, which has been, incredible. He just, he can tend to be, we work on projects together. And other than him getting mad at me for doing something wrong, he's been pretty solid.
And so your father did nothing wrong either?
I would say that. And when it comes to me, no, I don't have any bad feelings towards either one of my parents.
That's amazing, man.
Like really,
so where
really
did your insecurity come from?
Ooh, you're digging deep. My insecurity, I mean, I've been in two bad relationships. Insecurities, just like, I don't know. I would say that most of my insecurities come from being in school when I was a kid. I would say that that was not necessarily being up to par with the other kids, and that kind of messed with me into my adulthood. But I turned out pretty well, actually.
And so you say you've been in two bad relationships?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean, I've been married and divorced twice.
Wow. And the children?
Nope.
And why, if you came from perfect parents, how did you end up in two bad relationships?
You know, I think in both situations, I mean, I was first one, she decided that she would rather be with her boss.
With her boss?
And yeah, she ended up leaving. And I think that she had more things wrong than the relationship. And I was probably too young at that time. But relationship two was built. We met at church. I thought we were both on the same page of having a biblical and God-fearing marriage. And she had other ideas. So that was kind of disheartening, having a foundation.
How about the second marriage?
That one. The first one, she kind of just went her own way. But the second one was very... we went to church every week together, Bible studies, you know. The first one, that's the one that she went and got with her boss.
Oh, so the first one got with her boss, and the second one was a Christian. What happened with that?
Yeah, she just, I don't know. There was no discretion, no cheating, no financial issues. She kind of just came up one day and, you know, nothing that I would consider biblically inclining for ending a relationship or ending a marriage. But
and so if your parents were perfect, why did you end up being in two horrible relationships? Why weren't you perfect as your parents are perfect?
Well, I guess that maybe I didn't pay attention enough. Because my parents would tell me about their relationship, that they would have struggles where they wouldn't bring us kids involved. But I think that they probably did a better job at working through. And maybe this has a situation of you kind of going back. It's like as you go into the back, go back in time, people are more considerate of. I think as we're getting older,
what was wrong
kind of
with you that both women left you?
That's a great question. Probably beta ness.
Were you beta?
Probably.
Were you?
I don't really know how to define that.
Were you beta? That both women left you?
Well, they will say yes, I was beta.
And so if your parents were perfect, how did you end up beta? But
I think it's those insecurities, like you said. When I was younger, I think that just transcended.
Is your father beta in his relationship with your mother?
I wouldn't say so, no.
Is your mother beta in the relationship with your father?
Yes.
Your mother is beta with your father? What do you mean?
Yeah, I think that my mother respects my father as the head of the household.
Is she beta?
Yes.
In what way? Is she beta?
Meaning that she can't be alpha if my father's alpha. So I would say that she was beta to my father.
And that's why you were beta with your wife?
I don't know.
Bill,
maybe,
are you
maybe,
doing
here, my... Jesse,
yeah.
We need to, maybe me and you can go be alpha and find some babes and we
Bill,
can double date.
Bill. Are you doing my silentprayer.video?
Not yet.
Do the silent prayer. Do your little hooping and hollering stuff first and then calm down. Be still and know God so you can get to know yourself. And once you know yourself, you're going to understand the world around you, all right?
Jesse, can you explain the silent prayer for people out there? Like, I, as a listener before, would hear about it, but I wouldn't know what it was.
Go to my YouTube channel, silentprayer.video, and give it a try. Let me know what you think.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Bill. Call me again, buddy. Amazing conversation. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye, buddy. Super Chats. D-Li.
Super Chats.
Super Chats.
Super Chats. D-Li stream live.
Hold on one minute. Also findable via rebuildingtheman.com/church. Scroll down to silent prayer. All right. Okay, go ahead.
Where is Paul now on Streamlab? Are you surprised Maxine Waters praised Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion for the song WAP? So we kind of got to that towards the end of yesterday.
I didn't know about that, but I'm not surprised. How did that happen?
Powers That Bear with the Diamond. Amazing. How could Peter smell on Streamlab? How often do people mispronounce your name as Jesse Lee Patterson?
Rare, but sometimes.
Hambino Gambino on Streamlab. JLP 2028 after the Great White Hope. And I want to see Hake, VP, Joel Press speaking to reporters, and Nick at the border. He'll regulate. Chris put him on the Space Force. He tech smart. Amazing team, JLP. Love you guys.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Soul Conscious, Africa right now. Africa right now. Happy Friday.
Africa. Happy Friday. Thank you. You know, we got to take a quick break. Two more hours to go. We're going to get to more of your calls. We're going to move calls. And amazing conversation. Look, folks, get to know yourself. Really. Know thyself. That is the beginning of salvation, all right? Know yourself so you can see what's going on. Hake is coming in. Hake is coming in with the Hake news. Not the fake news, but the Hake news. The guy with the good hair. Back in a moment, folks. Two more hours to go. Thank you. So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer.
I know some people have called in and they wonder if the silent prayer is working. And I just want to take a second and to tell them that it works. You just have to stick with it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I started doing before I even forgave my parents. And I was so depressed and suicidal at some times that I just would have to stop in the middle of my job or whatever I was doing and go into the silent prayer. And it really does help. Like, I don't have those anymore.
Amazing. You haven't seen anything yet. Doubt every thought. Bring every thought into captivity. Just let them all pass. Don't judge them. You haven't seen anything. It gets better and better and better and easier, easier, easier. So my gift to you, no charge, at rebuildingtheman.com/church.
Putin challenges Sleepy Joe Biden to a live debate, and Ford moving some of its production to Mexico despite the wishes of the United Auto Workers Union that endorsed Sleepy Joe Biden, and now it's not favorable to businesses to be producing in America again. I don't know. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Friday, March 19th, 2021. Stay tuned for hour two. Jesse Lee will be right back. But first, Hake news, not fake news. It's 6:55 a.m. here in Los Angeles. Putin versus Biden. Who do you want? Who's your money on? Revolver News reports that Putin challenged Biden to a face-to-face debate after Sleepy Joe said that he thought Putin was a killer in an ABC News interview this week. In that interview, longtime TV news media personality George Stephanopoulos, he's Greek, liberal, infamously thought to be a Clinton lackey, he asked Sleepy Joe Biden if he thinks that Putin, quote, is a killer, unquote. I do. Biden said, Sleepy Joe Biden said. It caused an uproar, of course. Russia recalled its ambassador to the United States in response to the remark, which is almost unheard of, I think. A spokesman said that Biden definitely doesn't want to normalize relations with Russia. That was a Russian spokesman. Putin initially responded about the killer comment. I know you are, but what am I? He said, I don't know. I remember in childhood, when we were arguing with each other, we would say, I know you are, but what am I? Putin said. And that's no accident. It's not just a childish saying. There is a very deep meaning in that. And Putin suggested that Biden was accusing him of what the U.S. was guilty of. He referred not to abortions, but to supposed killings of American Indians during our great colonization and the imaginary injustice against Black Americans. But the Russian leader also said that he wished Joe Biden good health. I would say to him, be well. I wish him good health. I say that without any irony, without jokes, Putin said. So the challenge. I thought of this just now, Putin told a Russian state television reporter. I want to propose to President Biden to continue our discussion, but on the condition that we do it basically live, as it's called, without any delays and directly in an open, direct discussion. It seems to me that that would be interesting for the people of Russia and for the people of the United States. You can say that again. He said yesterday, Thursday, we could do it tomorrow or Monday. We are ready to, at any time convenient for the American side. In response to the reporters' questions, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki suggested that the discussion was unlikely to happen and noted that Biden's busy. He is scheduled to travel to Georgia on Friday. Give me a break. The female White House response said, I'll have to get back with you. Circle back. That's according to ABC News. And regarding Alexei Navalny, this month, who's the, he was a, well, listen, the Biden administration ordered sanctions on Russian officials for the poisoning and jailing of the Russian opposition leader, Alexei Navalny. Navalny, who is a Putin critic, right? And even Navalny has spoken out against U.S. censorship by Twitter and many others. Back in January, Alexei Navalny, and I'm probably butchering his name pronunciation, posted a long thread on Twitter. I think the ban of Donald Trump on Twitter is an unacceptable act of censorship. Navalny gave credence to the 2020 elections, but he tweeted, in my opinion, the decision to ban Trump was based on emotions and personal political preferences. This is a Putin critic. He went on, don't tell me he was banned for violating Twitter rules. I get death threats here every day for many years, and Twitter doesn't ban anyone. Not that I asked for it. And he also mentioned how they have killers and all kinds of people on Twitter that they don't ban, but they ban Trump. Give me a break. Anyway, Biden shafts the unions, by the way. Revolver News reports that the auto union that endorsed Biden is now shocked that Ford is relocating some of their stuff, manufacturing, to Mexico. It's a Wall Street Journal article shared on via archive. By the way, Trump had been trying to keep Ford in Ohio. Revolver shares a liberal reporter Tim Pool's video on BitChute. But they're relocating. It's not what they planned for, but things changed. Maybe the president changed. I'm James Hake.
About themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show today. It's Open Line Friday. Get it off your chest day. Whatever's on your mind, express yourself Friday.
You, Tom, like a mug.
You need to go and get yourself bleached. Because everything you say about black people, and you're sitting up there looking like a tar baby.
It might sound like a semantics argument, but he's a great alien.
I wonder if he's been smoking pot.
Why is my daughter dead?
Just bring your bag out here. Ma'am, stop going through it.
You need my lighter?
Yeah, I'm not done with that, though. Where's your lighter at?
In the car. 13. It says you're about 7 minutes away.
I'll get it for you in a second, okay?
I'm not understanding. How did this turn into a shooting?
No, hold on. Don't put me in handcuffs. I haven't done anything wrong.
Ma'am.
No.
My daughter was a good girl. I need some answers.
Put the gun down! Put the gun down!
As far as I'm concerned, the police
she got
did
a
my
gun.
Daughter.
I'm putting this on the bully list.
What the? She shot the cop. Her good daughter. My daughter was a good girl. 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. Amazing ladies forum last night. Thank you, ladies, for showing up. It was Seeking Women. Seek and you shall find. Amazing. Learned a lot. Realized a lot. Thank you, ladies. Amazing women forum. Church on Sunday at 11 a.m. The Hake Report at 11 a.m. Pacific time. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. TheHakeReport.com. You don't want to miss it. James Hake is on fire. So, one quick story before I go back to the phones. But I want to, let me give you this first. You know, there was a black guy that called into this show the other day, and he was trying to say that he had read some Justice Department report or somebody, some kind of report about the blacks and the Asian, I believe. And I was like, what the? Well, according to the Washington Examiner, and you know how the race hustlers are trying to say that it's the whites who are attacking Asian people? Because now they're trying to bring all people of color on the same ship. But so they all go, all the people of color can go after the white people. Because whenever you're a son or daughter of Satan, you're not able to stand alone. You got to get a crowd. Because you have no courage, no love. So you got to bring in everybody. And so the blacks are now trying to bring in the Hispanics. Black and brown. And the Asians and the Japanese. Everybody that got a little tone in the skin so that they can go after the white people, right? So now they're trying to make the Asian a part of their mess. And Asian people don't like black people. Chinese don't like black because they're all afraid of the blacks. Have you ever gone into a black community as an Asian person with a business and you have to deal with them stealing and not wanting to pay and arguing with them and all that? Asian people don't like black people. I don't know why all this pretense. But anyway, they're trying to say it's the white people who are attacking the Asians. When it's really the blacks, and we all know it. We're looking at the black people, right? But they're telling us, oh, those are not really black people. Those are white people. There was a guy that was down in Atlanta, Georgia, yesterday. And he went into one of those Asian massage parlors or whatever they are, and he'd been accused of shooting up some Asian people and others. And the guy, according to the police press conference, said that he did it because he is addicted to sex and he wanted to get rid of all those temptations. That's why he did it. But the race hustlers are trying to use that to say it was white supremacy. White supremacy. So they're trying to turn a lie into the truth, thinking you don't have sense enough to know. Because you don't think for yourself. Well, according to the Washington Examiner, this is from the Washington Examiner, and they're trying to blame it on the Great White Hope as well, Donald Trump. Oh, Donald Trump started all this, right?
Tomorrow they will say, Donald Trump rants and raves at the press. I'm not ranting and raving. I'm just telling you. You know, you're dishonest people.
I rest my case. But they're acting as though they believe that the people just don't see what they're doing or don't care or both. That's right. Perfect quote from the president. Right on time. Thank you, Nick. This is from the Washington Examiner. According to the Justice Department, 27.5% of all violent crime against Asian Americans in 2018 were committed by black people. According to the Justice Department, 27.5% of violent crimes against Asian Americans in 2018 were committed by black people. I see black people. White people committed 15.3% of violent crimes against Asian Americans. White people committed 15.3% of violent crimes against Asian Americans, whereas, according to the Justice Department, 27.5% of all violent crime against Asian Americans in 2018 were committed by black people.
Black people are the most higher rate of crime of people in the world.
If we don't be honest about it, how will we help the blacks? If we're blaming it on white people, when in reality it's the blacks, where is the love? Where is the love you said you'd give to me soon as you were free? Where is the love? Why don't y'all love black people enough to tell them the truth? Oh, I know. You want them acting this way for power and wealth for yourself. Fake power, but in your mind you think you have real power and money. You want blacks to be doing this. And the blacks don't have sense enough, self-control to contain themselves. You want them this way, and they're doing it. Adult blacks, not just the kids. Adult black. You saw that woman, my daughter was a good girl. And here she is, appeared to have a gun and everything. She let the cop running. She was a good girl. My daughter was a good girl. Such a sad one. We need love in America, folks. We got to love one another. Meaning don't resent. And white people, you got to love the blacks. Meaning tell them the truth, but don't overreact. Don't hate them. And if they get angry, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Julian is out of California. Julian, welcome to the show. Get it off your chest.
Hey, Jesse, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just had a question about so-called white privilege, right?
Yeah, is he clear?
So,
hold on, Julian.
Yeah.
You have a lot of static. Are you outside or something?
No, I'm. You're on my car speaker.
Oh, hold on, buddy. Let's see if we can get that straightened out. Mark, I'll come back to Julian. Do not hang up, Julian. Mark from South Carolina. Mark, get it off your chest.
What's happening, Jesse?
All is well. So are you on a speaker?
No, I'm not.
Are you in an empty building or something?
Yeah, man, I'm a construction worker. I'm sorry, Jesse.
Okay, that's much better. Go ahead.
Well, I had a little incident. I run a crew. You know, I manage a crew.
Yeah.
And it's all black. And I had a guy who came and worked for me for 2 days, and on the second day, I guess I'm a younger man and he's an older man.
Uh-huh.
And I'm light-skinned and he's dark-skinned, and so he's always acting like he can't listen to what I'm saying, you know, I guess because of my age or whatever.
Right.
And he said he got upset when I was speaking to the crew. He singled himself out and made it all about him, and so he's trying to fuss a fight with me, and he's like, well, F it, I'll go home. I said, well, F it, go home. And so he go home, and then I get a call later on that night from the owner, and he want to speak with me, my boss.
Right.
And he want to speak to the both of us at the same time. So I'm thinking, you know, no big deal or whatever. We grown men. We'll leave it on the job. So we're going to get on the phone with my boss, and he's going to tell my boss, like I said, yeah, what the? And listen now, Jesse, I done called you before. My daddy black, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at him like, damn, I'm a slave master just for sitting here trying to do the right thing. And he was lying to my boss on the phone, man, just making up these lies. He said, sir, I never been spoken to like this in my entire life. He said, I don't know what's wrong with that young man. And Jesse, that man tried to get me fired, man. He tried to get me to lose my job all because he had his feelings hurt that he was being disciplined on the job, you know? And I'm just wondering, in the future, if I'm dealing with that kind of situation, because like I said, I'm in my early 20s, and everybody that works for me is in their 50s and 60s, and they don't want to listen to me.
how should I conduct myself from here on out?
Just don't overreact to them. Don't get angry. Write them up. And if they don't want to follow your instruction, eventually you'll be able to let them go. That's the problem with hiring black people. You're going to they bring that attitude with them. They don't want, they're not all, but they're not committed to doing right. They're not committed to being right. They want to be treated like victims. So I would be very careful in hiring black people. And if you do, don't overreact to them. Give out the orders. If they refuse to do it, write them up and show it to your boss so that we have to let them go. You would be protected from all that. I've talked to so many companies. I talked to so many businessmen and some women who are really don't want to hire black people because they don't want to deal with that attitude. Black attitude come with black people, and it's just the way it is. I would try to avoid hiring them if I were you.
Can I say one more thing about this gentleman?
Yeah.
Well, I've known this gentleman for a while. You know, he works for us from time to time, and I was just at his house about a month ago because his mother passed away. Get this, 66 years old, lived with his mother up until she passed away.
Wow.
And get this, I came over to his house and did his whole yard for him because he just got out of surgery and lost his mother. I felt bad for him. Didn't ask him for a dime. Out there on my day off, 4 hours. And then a month later, you turn around and equate me to a slave master. Listen, Jesse, what type of slave go and slave on the plantation for a black man? You know what I'm saying?
I do.
That don't even make it's crazy, man. But I just wanted to call and just let people know that ain't nothing wrong with not hiring them kind of people. Because, yeah, I've worked with it my whole life, man, and they do it to themselves.
I hear it all the time, man. I hear it from white people. I hear it from foreigners who own businesses over here. I hear it from some women. They don't want to hire black people because of that. And white businesses and foreigners, they're afraid that the blacks will call them racist and try to sue them. So they're kind of between a rock and a hard place. They just have to figure out how to get around not hiring these people. Because you're going to have to deal with that. So stay calm, Mark, so you can see how to deal with it, all right?
All right, Mr. Jesse. And by the way, my boss is a black foreigner. I never heard him complain about racism.
Yeah.
He's a conservative, and he's also an everyday millionaire.
So right on.
It ain't the race.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome, Mark. Amazing. I hear it all the time, folks. Mark is not the only one. I hear from other black business owners, too. They just don't want to deal with black people because black people, not all, have attitude. It doesn't matter. They have no love. And they all, most of all of them, think that they're victims. It's amazing how that has happened to the blacks. It hasn't always been that way. Did Julia hang up on Nick? Julia had to go and call back. Okay. Call back, Julian, when you can, buddy. It's amazing. Samuel, this is a first-time call out of Tampa, Florida. Samuel, get it off your chest. You're on the air.
What's up, Jesse Lee?
All is well, Samuel.
All is well. Good. Hey, so I have a dilemma. So I'm in class the other day. You know, I'm in a class called Jesus and the Gospels. You know, we're studying, you know, the Synoptic Gospels. And a student comes up to me after and is just like, hey, Jesus was a socialist. He was like, you know, you want to make Republicans mad. You just tell them Jesus was a socialist. Jesus was asexual, implying that Jesus could have been straight, gay, bisexual, queer. And I'm just like, what in the heresy is this? So I need some help because, man.
Do you have to change that class?
Do I have to?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the problem isn't the teaching. This happened totally like after class, you know, after he started blaming the church for all of his hurt and X, Y, and Z. So I have to take the class because I'm about to graduate.
Right, and so you want to know how to handle that, you say?
Yeah, because I mean, Jesus wasn't a socialist, and in my view, it's like this. Socialism isn't concept about giving, right? But in practice, it's just laziness. And the whole deal with capitalism in concept is, you know, I guess this financial growth. And in practice, it's working hard, you know, making money, doing what you want to do and actually working for it and not just receiving a free handout due to your lackadaisical approach to life.
The way you handle this stuff, number one, Samuel, don't overreact to it. You can't.
Okay.
You got in all things, you got to learn not to overreact, because when you don't overreact, you become stronger and wiser. But if you overreact to it, you become weaker, and you would not be the light of the world. You wouldn't be the example. So just don't overreact, and you would see how to deal with it. And learn how to be that way with little things, so when big things come, your house will be built on solid ground, and you'll just get stronger and stronger, because you're dealing with evil. And evil want to weaken you in order to destroy you. And God, which is of good, want to make you strong. So he allow you to go through these things so you can see that he's with you. Just don't take him personally and don't overreact and just tell the truth about it. And if they don't like it, fine. If they accept it, fine. If they don't, fine. You go your way and let them suffer.
Right. And I know there was a lady a couple calls ago where she was talking about, this whole progressivism.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to Christianity. And these individuals are... They call themselves ex-evangelical, and their whole idea is to deconstruct, you know, themselves. And they're like, I mean, I'm telling you, like, so hardcore progressive. And their whole like stigma is that everything Jesus did, he was a socialist at. And that just rubs me the wrong way. And I mean, obviously, I can throw scripture at them, but again, they're. And these guys told me too that they don't believe, and this is crazy. You're gonna be like, what? They told me that the word of God is not their authority. I was like, wait, what? Hold up.
Well, they're telling you the truth because Satan is their daddy. Christianity has made men of Christianity have made a big mistake by allowing women to become pastors, teachers, preachers, and all that stuff that they're doing. Because when you let them come in and take over, it opened the doors for the gates of hell, to the gates of hell, and then all these things start to come about because it's not in the woman's nature to lead. It's in her nature to follow. But when you put her in a position that she should not be in, it just opened up the gates for hell. It's the same in the homes, in the schools, on jobs, and everywhere. There was a time when women would say that out loud. They knew that a woman should not be in control. Women didn't even like working for other women because they knew that they were going to have hell to catch by working for other women. We got to take back Christianity in order to bring back the order of God.
Right. And I mean, I know you talk about love and stuff, and like, obviously I'm a huge advocate of it, you know. The greatest of these commandments is love, and, you know, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Yeah.
And to love your neighbor as yourself. And so I'm trying to, but it's difficult because when I hear such, I mean, blasphemy, if you will, I mean, you know, one of these guys, you know, believes that hell is just, you know, this place where you just sit in a sentence and then you cease to exist. But the Bible that I read, you know, says hell is an eternal place. And so I'm just, and that's just a whole different theological discussion, but it's just, they keep making these weird remarks, and I'm just like, I just don't know, man. I don't believe that. I don't buy into that.
But just so
you're right, we have to take it back.
Yeah, don't overreact to them, Samuel. So because you're
the light, don't give into it necessarily. Just sit there and listen.
Right, because they're blind and can't see. They've been brainwashed or whatever happened. Their family failed them. Their father and their mother failed them. They were not good examples, and so they're really telling you all that they know. And so you need to be patient, but be honest, but be patient. Don't overreact. And some of them will wake up because you did not judge them by overreacting, but yet you were honest about it. You tried to point the right way. So speak up, but don't resent.
Right. I think they're betas, honestly, man.
Well, it is. They're total beta.
You're right. Satan is their daddy.
But it's also beta when you get upset about it.
I agree. And so that's why I'm like, but do you think I have a valid reason to be upset?
No.
But what if scripture totally contradicts what they say?
That's not a reason for you to be upset, though.
Okay. So you're just saying just listen and just don't, like, totally give into it because they're totally blind or brainwashed, whatever you want to call it. And just don't feed into that kind of energy.
Yeah, don't give into it at all. You just stay still and be honest with them. Don't take it personally. Okay. They can't help themselves.
Okay.
And that's what the perfect love of God does. It causes you to deal with the world in a perfect way so that you can overcome the world and yet be the light of the world so that those who are lost might find their way.
Right. But so I'm just the example, and hopefully they see it and follow it.
Yeah, if they don't, wish them well, let them suffer and die.
Right.
But don't,
it'll come to that point at some point, you know?
Yeah, but don't overreact, man. Overreaction shows a lack of love.
Right. No, I totally agree. And it's like, oh, they call themselves woke Christians, you know? And I'm just like, you know, whatever your interpretation of woke is, you take it and run with it, but I'll just try and love you, you know, even from a distance and, you know, just try and be like Jesus, if you will.
Yeah.
Model after, you know, the ways that he did.
Just wish him well. Samuel, thank you for your call, man.
Hey, thank you, Jesse. Take care, man.
All right, you too, buddy. People of anger overreact. People of love don't. It's impossible to overreact when you're of love, of God's love, not mama's love, but God's love. You can't overreact because that's why you got to get to know yourself, folks, so you can be born of the Spirit of God, of the Father. All right. So before I go back to the phone, we got to work on stopping the rise in anti-white crime. It's on the move right now. They're teaching in the schools. They're literally teaching kids to hate white people. That's not the American way. We are one nation under God. We don't have to agree, but we cannot hate. This is from Spectrum News. Two teens are now charged with murder after allegedly setting a white man on fire. Watch this.
We're learning more about the two teens now facing murder charges and learning more about the man those teens are accused of setting on fire. That man died from his injuries yesterday. Police say 53-year-old Stephen Ammenhauser was sitting in his Lyle Avenue apartment when police say 16-year-old Xavion Perry and 14-year-old Adriel Riley Jr. doused him with a flammable liquid and set him on fire. Police don't know why. Ammenhauser suffered burns over more than 70% of his body and later died at the hospital. Police say Riley had been arrested multiple times for robbery in Gates and Rochester, was given appearance tickets, and failed to show up for court.
Amazing. Amazing. And you notice they didn't mention the race of the people, right? If they were white, they would have mentioned the race. And they would have called it white supremacy. The Daily Wire is reported that Rochester journalist and radio host Bob Lonsberry revealed that the teens were in fact black and highlighted the double standard in news coverage. Rochester journalist and radio host revealed that the teens were black and they highlighted the double standard in coverage, news coverage. They want the black people to be doing this. Really. They want, because they know that right now, and not, blacks are not the only race that act out, but they're leading the way. For the few blacks that are in this country, they're leading the way in crime. And the media, the black race hustlers, the liberal white race hustlers, the right or Republican race hustlers and others, they want the blacks to do it. And it's just so unfortunate that blacks, as human beings, can't see that they're being used for destruction. They're being used, and as adults, I would understand that they were teenagers and didn't see it. But as adult men and women, they don't see it. It's mind-blowing. The only purpose of black people on earth today is for destruction. Majority, not all, but most. Not all, but most. It's for, I need to go out and find out the information. I'll be right back. I'm kind of waiting to see, but nobody's talking to me right now. So I'll be back. Super Chats at D-Live.
Super Chats.
Super Chats and D-Live continues. So we have Streamlab, Soul Conscious Africa right now. 9-5, hey Jesse, my current landlord abuses and neglects her child while the stepfather is working. I feel like telling child services about this, but then I feel like it's none of my business. What should I do?
And it's not your business. At least not to tell social service. What the? If you want to tell anyone, tell the husband, the father, or whatever. But if you go to social service, they're wicked. They're going to take the kids away from the family and screw them up even more so. You can't be operating like the world. Don't have the mindset of the world. Don't have the mindset of Africa. We are not of the world here. You can't think like that. You know those people are evil? What the? Go and tell the father if you see something happening. I got to take a break. Back in a moment. More of your Super Chats and phone calls. I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. And blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663.
I'm a mega boy, stomping in the mega hat. Try and take my gun, believe me, I'ma take it back. I know some blacks for Trump, you could call him mega black. Culture vulture on the mega track, I'ma pay him back. Ay, you don't want the beef, we ain't the coward type.
Super Jazz, let's finish those show.
So, Hot Computer Smell on Streamlab, COVID brought forth the only resolution we'll have after the season finale / cliffhanger on The Gifted of Dance. I was hoping for season two. Amazing.
Amazing.
Ninja Huey with the diamond. Has anyone told Biden he's president yet?
Somebody need to tell him.
He forgot. Corporate Coin 99, Jesse, if people would pay attention to Joe Biden when he was giving a speech last night, who can watch his face as he is just reading the teleprompter?
Yeah.
He looked lost.
Yeah.
Pathway Tech with the diamond, Ephesians 4:31-32 for those angry Bible thumpers, as well as Pathway Tech also gives another diamond. Bronconus with the diamond, you helped me get my kids on the silent prayer. Thank you.
Right on.
Goes on to say, he sends a Ninja Guinea, by the way, and says, stay strong, holy alpha dude.
Amazing.
You do the Lord's work. Parnell Patriot, 0341 with the diamond. Express Yourself Friday, more than an ocean. Ninja Huey with the diamond. Hoop and Holler for the JLP show and experts. Amazing.
Amazing.
Fluky Unicorn with the diamond. Have a great weekend, JLP and crew.
You too. Thank you.
Jay Valdez with the diamond. That shirt is amazing. I'm so glad I found this show.
Amazing.
Pathway Tech with the diamond. Why do Christians say they are God-fearing? It sound good?
It sound good. It's just nice speech. Just words. Okay.
Trills Von D. Y'all heard that song? You can do it, baby. Do it tonight. I have. Maybe we can do
it. You heard that before?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I forgot who it was by, though. Kay said, hey, Jesse, what do you think about having children during these times? I live in Canada, and it's ran by lesbians and communist Chinese.
I know. It's really is an awful time to have children, I think, but not for the children of God. If you were truly born of God, then you and your children are protected. Believe me. Okay.
Flochinski with the diamond. Not all blacks are convinced work is racist.
Amazing.
Lord Aragon 2019 with the diamond. God bless you, sir. Lock your door with the diamond. I see black people.
Lock your door.
And let's see here. Chimani with the diamond. CPS is evil. And that seems like all for now.
Amazing. Thank you.
You are amazing.
I do appreciate it. Thank you so much. And don't forget to donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood's Organization of a New Destiny. For 31 years, we have been rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Worldwide now. Check it out and donate. And we have amazing books there. And the last one I wrote is now out in paperback, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. It is deep. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend all my books, but especially the last one. And The 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. If you want to start a business or simple life. Life is very simple. It's not complicated unless you're in the dark. Also, From Rage to Responsibility, the very first book that I wrote, and Scam. So check them out at the website, rebuildingtheman.com. Or you can call 800-411-BOND for an autographed copy if you want an autographed copy. Brand new episode of the FallenState.tv. Brand new episode of the FallenState.tv. I interview a young lady by the name of Shayla Harris, the director of the Black Church. This is our story. Here's a teaser for that.
Next time on the Fallen State.
So this was a project that Dr. Henry Louis Gates, it was one of his most personal projects, something on religion and faith and its role in Black resistance. I had worked as a producer on Who Killed Malcolm X, and Dr. Gates was an executive producer of that series.
It didn't mention that Black people were sold by other Blacks to the Arabs, and it was the Arabs who sold Black around the world. Why was that left out?
We didn't really necessarily have time to get into the history of enslavement.
I had hoped to see that because a lot of Black people think that it was the white people who went to Africa and bought the Blacks.
Yeah, no, that story is a documentary unto itself.
You guys even brought in Michael Brown, but Michael Brown was a bad example for Black people. Am I right?
I don't agree with that.
The director and producer of the PBS documentary series, The Black Church. This is our story. This is our song. My story. Today at 12 noon, brand new episode of the FallenState.tv. You don't want to miss it. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. The Hake, not the fate, but the Hake, H-A-K-E, report.com at 9 a.m. from 9 to 11, Monday through Friday. You don't want to miss it. The Hake Report. .com. Dan is a first-time caller out of our. Dan, welcome to the show. Get it off your chest.
Jesse.
Yes, sir.
It's great to talk to you. I've been listening to you since last White History Month.
Right on. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, I've been loving your content. Been loving Fallen State. And all right, so what I want to talk about is that I realized this week what you mean by the phrase Bible thumper.
And what do you,
for a long time?
What do you realize that means? What do you What do I mean by that?
So what you mean is that people who know the Bible, like they know verses, they can speak verses, but they don't know Jesus. They don't know God or the Holy Spirit.
Right. Right. They intellectually have read about him and studied about him, and their intellect has been filled with knowledge, but they don't know God. They have not been born again of God.
Right. And because there are people who study the Bible and know verses, and to prove, like to quote unquote disprove that God exists. You know, atheists will study the Bible
yeah.
to disprove Christianity.
Absolutely. Are you a Bible thumper, Dan?
No, not anymore.
You were a Bible thumper at one time?
Kind of. It's more like I kind of took offense to that term. Because I thought that, what, shouldn't we all be Bible thumpers? But now I actually do understand. Now I actually do understand what you mean.
And so when you first heard me say Bible thumper, you took it personally?
Yes.
Yeah. And at the time, you thought it was okay to be a Bible thumper?
Well, I thought that, yes, that is what we should be, but...
And how old are you, Dan?
I'm 24.
And why did you think you should be a Bible thumper?
Because So we should be following, like, every word of the Bible, and we should be, try and follow every word of the Bible and live our lives according to every word.
And who taught you that?
I guess myself. It's something that... I thought of, I guess.
Amazing. So you just one day taught yourself, you know what? I'm a Bible. Well, you just think you thought, oh, I'm a Bible thumper, and it's okay because we have to follow every word of the Bible, right? Were you following every word of the Bible?
No, I realized that I wasn't loving.
Yeah.
Not loving.
Yeah.
And that I was. A coward, really, to speak up, tell the truth.
And what caused you to realize that?
Well, listening to you, I think it was a breakthrough when you were talking to the man with Asperger's on Monday or Tuesday.
He had Asperger?
Yes.
And what made you realize that in talking to him?
Well, I'm not sure, but it's what you were saying to him that I finally realized what you meant by.
Yeah. And so have you gone and forgiven your parents?
I have not.
And why not?
I guess I was too cowardly to do it.
And why are you... What do you think would happen if you went and forgave your parents? What would happen?
I think that my mom would be really upset, probably cry a little, but nothing beyond that, I think.
But why do you care about that?
I don't know. I don't want to hurt my mom, but I understand that it is. I do understand why got to do it.
And why do you have to do it?
Because I think I still have I still have a lot of betaness in me.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of how sheltering my parents were of me.
Yep.
And not teaching me properly to be a man.
Absolutely, man. You're going to have to go and forgive before you can be yourself again, before you were traumatized. You're going to have to go and forgive. They did the best that they can do. Had they been able to see and do better, they would have. And for you to start a new generation, because the purpose of being on earth is, as God is trying to create love through us, and he can't do it if Satan is your daddy, right? So you must go and forgive and have no expectation from your mother or your father. You're just going there to say, hey, I'm sorry for resenting you for whatever it is they did. And don't ask for forgiveness, don't apologize, Don't say, oh, I love you. You don't love them, but you will once you forgive them. You will really love your parents, and it's going to be amazing for you. But you got to shake in your boots, but it's okay. It's the last time you will ever have to shake in life.
That's great.
All right. You got to do it, man, if you want to be free.
Right.
All right.
All right. Next time I visit them, I will for sure.
Let me know how it goes.
Okay. Thanks so much, Jesse.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. I appreciate your call. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's so bad in the world now that, as I've said, the blacks are being used for destruction, and the children of the lie are just using it now. This is from Breitbart. The Department of Homeland Security said it was disrespectful for a congresswoman to ask him about crimes committed by illegal aliens. Watch this.
My question to you, her name was Amber Scott, the young lady that was kidnapped by this illegal criminal.
Young lady.
How many more Ambers have to be kidnapped across America before you will take action?
Mr. Chairman, yes. May I answer that question?
Yes.
Congresswoman, I find that question to be extraordinarily disrespectful. Disrespectful not only to me, but disrespectful to the men and women of the Department of Homeland Security and to all the frontline personnel throughout this country who dedicate themselves to the safety and security of the American people.
What a beta male in control of our country. Where's the disrespect in asking about crime committed by illegal aliens? You got to come out of the world, be in it, but not of it, folks, because the children of the lie are taking over everything. And it's due to your fear. You're like them not knowing yourself. And these people are wicked. They can't help it. They need love. They need delight. They need truth without hate. Y'all gotta start speaking up, folks. Where did it become disrespectful, or when did it become disrespectful for a congresswoman to ask a silly man like that about crime committed by illegal aliens? We know that they're committing the crimes. First of all, they're committing the crimes by coming here illegally. This is from Breitbart as well. A group of aliens attempting to enter the U.S. illegally interrupted an interview between Breitbart and the Texas U.S. congressman by the name of Chip Roy, a Republican from Texas, who was visiting the area. Talk about crimes. Why is this?
You have children now coming across, pouring across the border. How are you going to keep them safe? Where's the guy? Where's he hollering from?
Amazing. These people don't respect America at all because they know America is weak. Drug cartels are getting rich. And one of the ways they're doing it is by taking illegal aliens' money and smuggling them across the borders into our great country. What a sad way to live. When I look at the world, it fills me with sorrow. Children today gonna suffer tomorrow. Oh, what a shame. According to the Epic Times, they're so overwhelmed they have to use wristbands to keep track of who paid Isn't that something? The smugglers have to use wristbands to keep track of the number of people who are paying to come across our borders. What a job. I bet they're making buku money. But what about the children? I'm so sick of that saying. It makes me sick. These people don't care anything about the children. What about even the conservatives don't care about the children? Oh, I feel so bad for the children. You hear conservatives saying that, especially conservative females. Oh, and the Christian ones are the worst. Oh, I feel so bad for the children. But the people who are sending the children over here don't care about their children. Why are you feeling so bad about it? All this emotional crap needs to end. Rodney is a first-time caller out of Philadelphia. Rodney, welcome to the show. Get it off your chest.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Rodney.
Big supporter of the show. Been listening to your show for a long time. Ever since I saw you on Tariq Nasheed's show, I've been listening to your show like almost every day.
Amazing.
And I follow you and agree, you know, I'm black.
Yeah.
And I listen to you and I take a lot of good information from your show. You say a lot of positive stuff. You have a perspective that most black people don't put out there. But I have to disagree with some things you do in terms of the information you give out to black people.
Okay.
Like you always have black people on the show and that are doing well, you know. Of course, they're always begging and complaining about stuff. But then you'll say stuff like, how did you get your success? And why don't you tell people to do that so they can be more successful?
Right.
And I have to kind of challenge you to do the same thing. Like, I don't really hear you doing more of the, this is the way for black people to do better things. Here's an example of somebody doing it. It's just like almost every person that you present on the show are black people who are doing the bad things, you know? And I know you have like Bond and you do positive stuff over there, but I just think it'd be better for us to see more examples of the positive stuff that black men are doing.
See more. I don't quite understand what you mean by that.
Like, for instance, you have someone like Joel. You've been working with Joel for a long time.
He black.
Definitely started. Yeah, he black. And he's been successful. He started his business.
Right.
I just think it would be better to see some more positive. I mean, it's good that you do talk about the stuff that needs to be said
right.
about black people. I do agree with that. But at the same time, when you have young black people who listen to the information you put out, they need to see examples of people who are doing it right, who are doing positive stuff. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't see more of that.
What I do is I try to point them back to themselves. I tell them to overcome the blackness. I tell them that to take one step at a time in business. I do point that out to them. And so when I have the blacks on the show who are doing well in life, but yet pushing this phony idea of racism and blacks can't make it because of slavery, and I ask them, instead of doing that, why don't you tell them what you're doing to make it because you're black, right? And they won't do it.
Right.
But for 31 years, you know, we have our Entrepreneur Academy. The 7 guaranteed steps, I tell the people to get that. I don't know what else I can do to help them.
Because I can
show Joel as I'm black and they're looking at me every day on the show, right? And
right.
I can tell them until I'm black and blue in the face, but if they don't get up and take responsibility and overcome this black crap and all that, they're not going to get better.
Yeah, because most of them are following, like you said, the people who are typical race hustlers.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But those, they don't really give them solutions or examples of how to get better. It's just more examples of how to hate and.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Stuff like that.
How old are you, Rodney?
I'm 42.
You're 42?
I have my own.
You sound much younger.
Yeah, I have my own business. I'm 42.
Right on.
I have my own business. I have my own business, and, you know, I take care of my family. All that
right
stuff.
On, man.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I really appreciate that call, man. Thank you so much for it. I'm running out of time here, so much. Thank you. Call me all again, right. All right?
I will.
All right, buddy. I got to take a break. Another hour to go. Hake is coming in with the hate news. Anytime you have situations happening in your life, always be still. Don't overreact. Most of the people that I know, they say, oh, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm an observer. And as soon as something don't go their way, they get mad. I'm like, what the? If you overreact, folks, remember to do that. Don't overreact. And when you get mad, it's your problem. It ain't your wife's problem, your husband's problem, your neighbor, your friend, your preacher, your teacher. It's your problem. Why do you think you tick? It didn't go your way or the way you think it should go. Don't have a way you think it should go. Let life just happen. Thoughts made you think that life should go the way you want it to go. And if it doesn't, if someone don't do or say or act the way you think they should act, you hate them. And then you blame them for being mad. It's the darndest thing I ever seen, but it's amazing to see it. So relax.
The Biden administration is smearing real Americans like you and trying to radicalize you. It is crazy. And sleepy Biden is letting the illegals make the drug cartels rich. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It's Friday, March 19th, 2021. Stay tuned for hour three. It's 5 minutes till 8 a.m. here in Los Angeles. But first, hake news, not fake news. After the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, catch the Hake Report. The Hake Report live Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. And today, noon today, Pacific Daylight Time, The Fallen State, a new premiere with an excellent young black lady guest. It's going to be fun. You're going to like it. Interesting. And also, Church on Sunday, Church with Jesse Lee Peterson, every Sunday, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time. RebuildingTheMan.com/church. Make sure you subscribe to Bond Rebuilding the Man YouTube channel. It is an excellent channel on YouTube. Also on Facebook, Bond Rebuilding the Man Facebook page. Biden versus whites and Americans, and other Americans, right? Revolver News reports, Biden administration lays the groundwork for the attack on quote-unquote domestic extremism. New York Slimes reports, and Biden labels militias and white supremacists as the top internal threat in the country. The same New York Times article is shared on Archive. It was written by Adam Goldman, a journalist. The report never mentions Antifa or Black Lives Matter after 500-plus riots, according to Steve Saylor on the UNZ Review, UNZ, UNZ Review. They claimed that the threat will be elevated, the Biden administration, in the coming months because of contentious sociopolitical factors, likely a reference to the fallout from the January 6th riot at the Capitol by the pro-Trump mob, purportedly pro-Trump. Racially motivated violent extremists such as white supremacists, the New York Slimes writes, were the most likely to conduct mass casualty attacks against civilians. I guess they're referencing the rare cases like Dylann Roof or that El Paso Walmart shooter, or recent synagogue shootings, I guess, over the past years that killed some Christians, by the way, or those blacks who shot up the Jewish shop. While militias typically targeted law enforcement and government personnel factories and facilities. Interesting. That's what the report claimed. Lone offenders or small cells of extremists were more likely than organizations to carry out attacks, it said. So I guess that means condemnation of Proud Boys, Three Percenters, Oath Keepers is a bit misguided, driving people into isolation, huh? You'll remember multiple police precincts were taken over and burned up, police chased, assaulted, mass murdered by BLM, Antifa, and black radicals over the last months and years. But no, FBI has charged more than 300 people in connection with the mostly peaceful protest January 6th, including members of Oath Keepers and Proud Boys, pro-America groups that backed President Trump. Others charged included supposedly white supremacists, unnamed. Sleepy President Biden, who I hear goes to bed early, requested the comprehensive threat assessment shortly after he took office in the wake of the January 6th assault at the Capitol, which the failing New York Slimes says laid bare the toxic domestic extremism that has shaken the country. Drama, huh? They're running their mouths. Domestic extremism poses the most lethal and persistent terrorism-related threat to the homeland today, according to Alejandro N. Mayorkas, who's the homeland so-called security secretary. He told that to a House committee on Wednesday. The January 6th attack in the U.S. Capitol and on American democracy, oh gosh, is a searing example of the threat, Mayorkas said. The FBI said in a statement, liberal FBI, the threat is persistent and evolving. Christopher Wray is the FBI director. He's an evil liar, I believe. FBI and DHS, Department of Homeland Security, warned the riot could have lasting consequences. Some domestic extremists are emboldened in the aftermath of the breach of the U.S. Capitol, said this woman, Jill Sanborn, head of counterterrorism at the FBI, Fox Guarding the Hen House. She told that to Congress last month. You think BLM and Antifa and Hispanic radicals are emboldened after being allowed to riot, loot, assault, malign cops and civilians the last several years? Anyway, critics of Trump accuse him of exploiting racial and socioeconomic divisions. That's them. I'm James Hake.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show already. Third hour. Every Wednesday, third hour. Manhood Hour. What is a man? What is a man? Man.
It's an adult human male.
Manhood. Hillary or President Trump?
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Beta male. A man is a male returned to man. Alpha male. Live right, be right, and lead the way.
This is a two-hour trash-a-thon. We don't know the context of that conversation.
According to Meghan,
they basically make out the entire royal family a bunch of white supremacists. I'm not taking anything they said at face value, I'm afraid. I think it's completely self-serving.
You're standing by your friend. It appears that you give validation or safe haven to something that he has uttered that is racist.
I think this is for everybody who is born white. If he doesn't, Piers doesn't like someone and they happen to be black, mm-hmm. does that make him a racist?
Thank you.
No.
That's a no.
No.
Right. So why can't it be he just doesn't like her? Why does it have to be racist?
That's right. Black people that are looking at us stupid. No. They didn't want to say no. They did not want to say no. See, white folks, y'all got to tell the truth to these folks. You got to tell the truth. What's wrong with telling the truth about these situations? What's wrong with that? 888-77. Amazing. Joel did that. 888-77-JESSE. I want to go quickly back to Matt. I had to hold him over because we ran out of time. Matt went and forgave his mother. Life is amazing. And is that the number, James? Two. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. And so Matt wanted to know what to do now about his mother. I believe that's what he wants. Matt, am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
So is your mother married?
No, well, she was. She's been married like five times, but yeah, they're all dead.
What?
I guess you wore them all out.
She, That's amazing. And so are you an only child or something?
No, I've got siblings. My youngest brother OD'd at 29 years.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what...